The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation.
WTBQ. Good afternoon. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools. Today, my guest, the Commissioner of the Orange County Department of Health, Dr. Gelman. Welcome, Dr. Gelman.
Thank you very much for having me. Good afternoon now, everyone.
Absolutely. Well, it's certainly a pleasure to have you on the broadcast today. There's much to discuss and to learn from you. I thought I would begin just by, I know you've been on before in WTBQ, but perhaps you could just introduce yourself and then give us an update of what you're seeing in our local region or county in terms of COVID-19 or anything else.
Thank you very much for the introduction. I am Dr. Irina Gelman, the Commissioner of Health for Orange County, for the Orange County Department of Health. I have been on previously. I was fortunate enough to discuss a number of issues, including COVID-19, in that studio. I did want to mention that there are a couple of items on the agenda, a lot of them pertaining to COVID-19. The Orange County Department of Health has issued the Halloween safety guidance document that went out in conjunction with the New York State Halloween safety guidance document. As we are all preparing right now for Halloween, it's very important to really adhere to safety precautions and a lot of the safety parameters, as we are seeing an increase in COVID-19 transmission in Orange County, countywide. We have also updated our FAQ document for schools. It's available on the Orange County Department of Health website, the Facebook page, as well as our free app. We do have a free app that's available for download on all devices. It's the Orange County, New York Health app. It has a lot of updates and a lot of up-to-date information on COVID-19. Flu shots, we definitely want to make sure this year, like no other, that any individual that is able to medically tolerate it get their flu shots this season like no other, because unfortunately the secondary increase in new cases of COVID-19 will coincide with the flu season, and it is extremely important to make sure that you are protected at least against the flu and you have your flu shot available. As far as what we are seeing for COVID-19 countywide, as I mentioned, yes, initially we did have that one area that was densely populated, and we saw an uptick in cases in just one part of our county. But as far as what we are seeing now, we are seeing community-wide transmission. Our 10-day rolling average for new cases has been at 52.9 new cases per day. We currently have 529 active cases in Orange County. As of October 23rd, we have had 13,274 cases to date, meaning that 52.9 new case on average per day is what we are seeing as far as a daily increase of cases. But to date, since the beginning of the pandemic, since March, we have seen 13,274 cases as of Friday, the 23rd. Unfortunately, we had 505 deaths up until 10/23. And currently still, predominantly, we are seeing new cases in that 18 to 44 younger category. So that's where we seem to be with COVID-19. As far as the hospitalization and complication rate, I know we spoke about this. This was somewhat counterintuitive because we have an overall younger cohort of active cases. So those individuals tend to be younger than our initial wave. However, the complication and hospitalization percentage has not changed for us and has remained in that 13 to 15% of total active cases. So in a nutshell, that's where we are with COVID-19 and sort of a list of what we would be discussing today with you. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Absolutely. Well, you know, schools across the country and certainly here regionally have successfully reopened for in-person learning, and whether that's often a hybrid model or every other day or you know, certain variations of that. But that's been through a context of relatively, in New York, low levels of, you know, community transmission. How do you feel when you know, you look at, you know, I wanted to ask you, obviously, I'll be asking probably some more questions pertaining to schools on the broadcast, but there's often certainly overlap in much of it. What are your feelings in terms of the schools remaining open as long as they have these mitigation strategies such as masking or distancing and the ventilation and, you know, what... Talk to me a little bit about what's that process been like for you, working with schools as there's been a case here and there, and what guidance have you been providing schools?
Well, given the sheer scope and magnitude of the local response to this global pandemic, we have seen a tremendous number of cases here in Orange County. As everyone is well aware, Orange County, Rockland, and New York City currently during the secondary increase in new cases has been impacted disproportionately to other counties in New York State. With that said, I will say that our staff at the Orange County Department of Health, as well as the faculty, administration, staff, and students of our schools have been extremely cooperative with the process, and that is something that we're very grateful for. We have had a very standardized approach as far as safety parameters and measures, and it was truly a collaborative effort because clearly the Orange County Department of Health and everyone takes the health and safety of our children very seriously, even more so during the worst public health crisis in a century. And while we are seeing an increase in infection rates, we do proceed with caution. We take every step possible in resuming in-person services safely and responsibly. What I am very glad to report is with a lot of the standardized approaches and safety parameters that we have had in place, as everyone knows, we were the first county to implement those commissioner orders for mandatory masking and social distancing for in-person instruction. And that has been one of the most important measures from what we are now seeing retrospectively, analyzing a lot of the positive cases that we have had throughout the schools. The positive cases that we have had have been sporadic and isolated, which is something that is a very good metric to report. It's very important when we do have those positive cases, which it was inevitable that we would have cases here and there throughout the district, but it's very important that they did not turn into further transmission. We were able to really contain that further propagation by broad exclusions, by ensuring that anyone who was a direct or proximal contact has been excluded and has been under mandatory quarantine at home monitoring for symptoms for that 14-day duration. And we're very glad that the schools and the administrators, the superintendents, faculty have really been our partners in this, in ensuring that every individual is being as safe as possible, especially so for in-person instruction. So I'm very glad that for the case burden that we've seen thus far, despite the fact that we have had isolated positive cases throughout the school districts, they have not turned into clusters just as yet, and we have not had broader outbreaks. As a word of caution, I would mention some of the positive cases that we have seen did have quite a bit to do with athletics, social settings, and after-school activities. And our staff and the staff of the school districts have been very diligent in reporting those parameters as well, because fairly often you would have a positive case that would present in a social setting after school, and it was very important to follow up in that regard as well. So far, so good. Everyone, parents, students, staff, faculty, administrators, keep up the great work, because so far we're doing well given the transmission rates that we are seeing.
Absolutely. And the strong partnership between the schools and the Orange County Health Department has just been extraordinary and so helpful. And whether it is a Saturday or Sunday morning or a late evening, we know that we can count on you and your team to be such huge, you know, supports for our students. And, you know, this partnership focuses on symptom surveillance and reporting, and followed by such strong guidance. And, you know, the multi-layered in-school protocols that we have. You helped us develop, and you mentioned the mandate regarding mask, the physical distancing of at least 6 feet, the reduced occupancy, the ventilation improvements, simple but important hand washing and cleaning and disinfecting. And you had mentioned a moment ago, this sort of this robust contact tracing has shown that many of the clusters of the pediatric cases have occurred out of school thus far. And so we really are looking for families to continue to be mindful of limiting these social gatherings. And with the holidays coming up, that's certainly something that's on my mind.
Absolutely. And we definitely share the sentiment. We greatly appreciate all the collaboration and coordination that it took with the schools. And of course, those social settings, social gatherings, and we typically analyze the presentation of a lot of the cases. And we always conduct a communicable disease investigation here at the Orange County Department of Health. And then furthermore, that contact tracing effort that results from that communicable disease investigation is then followed up by the New York State Department of Health. But in terms of presentation, it has somewhat changed from that initial presentation that we were seeing early on at the end of summer and at the beginning of the school year during the early weeks of September, which was typically travel related or, as you mentioned, social gathering related. So a lot of weddings, events, birthdays, so on and so forth. And a lot of that, those initial positive cases were travel related. We are seeing some travel-related cases now, but we are seeing quite a few more cases that are a result of either social gatherings or after-school activities. Again, gatherings of a different sort, but more athletics, dance, and any type of after-school activities. So it's extremely important to be vigilant, to still continue with those safety parameters, because ultimately the goal for everyone is to take every step possible in keeping those in-person educational activities in place, keeping those in-person classes, and staying in school in person as much as possible, because ultimately that is our collaborative, collective goal. And I think every one of us helps make that happen as long as we remain vigilant and adhere to those safety and social distancing parameters.
When we return, we'll continue our discussion with the Commissioner of the Orange County Department of Health, Dr. Gelman. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools.
The Light Club Curiosity Shop, located at 2 Romer's Alley, in the quaint village of Sugarloaf, is a magical, mystical journey featuring spiritual advisors and energy healers, as well as Reiki, reflexology, meditation, and massage. Plus, enjoy the artistic movement studio. For more information and to sign up for their online events, visit lightclubcuriositieshop.com and be enlightened.
There are a million reasons to love a pet, and a million more to love a shelter pet. This October, we're celebrating Subaru Loves Pets Month by shining light on the ones that have melted our hearts. The blind, the deaf, the old, and many more. These underdogs are often the last to be adopted, but will always be the first into your heart. And to spread more love, Subaru's celebrating October 22nd as our second annual National Make a Dogs Day by inviting all dog lovers to do something extra special for their favorite dog. So adopt a shelter pet, and Wayne Subaru will donate $100 to the North Jersey Animal Shelter in Bloomingdale, New Jersey, to help more pets get adopted. It's just one of the many ways we're keeping our love promise. Subaru, more than a car company. Subaru of America, Inc. and its retailers will donate $100 for every dog or cat adoption from partner shelters from October 1st, 2020 through October 31st, 2020, up to $3,100 in total. Visit Wayne Subaru at waynesubaru.com or at 600 Route 23, Pompton Plains, New Jersey.
Senator Jen Metzger is working for all of us. She championed the Child Victims Act to help victims of childhood sexual abuse finally get justice. Jen delivered critical funding and legislation to end the opioid crisis and is fighting to get our farms, small businesses, and daycare centers the support we need to get through this difficult time. Vote early or on November 3rd to re-elect Jen Metzger to the State Senate.
I'm Jen Metzger, and I approved this message.
Paid for by friends of Jen Metzger.
Fusion CBD, your number one supplier of full-spectrum CBD, offers the highest quality CBD products to help you stay calm, balanced, and focused. All Fusion CBD products are derived from whole plants and include consumables, tinctures, topicals, and pets products. Fusion CBD products are grown and manufactured locally and range from 500 to 2,000 milligrams of total cannabinoids. Fusion CBD cares about you and your family's well-being. To order and for more information, visit FusionCBD.com.
Tune in every Saturday at 8 a.m. for Horseplay with me, Jimmy Cassidy.
And me, Michael Dennehy of the Clover Stables.
Boarding, riding lessons.
And how to take life by the reins.
Radio worth listening to.
WTVQ. Good afternoon. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools. My guest today is the Commissioner of the Orange County Department of Health, Dr. Gelman, and we have been really reviewing the spread of COVID-19 in our region and getting an update there, but as well as some other important guidance, whether it's vaccinations or Halloween safety. And you know, Dr. Gelman, I wanted to ask you a common question that we will receive from families is, schools are working hard to be transparent and to communicate on a timely matter when there is a positive case. So a district our size, for example, we have 3,600 students. And at this point, students that are coming to school, whether it's every day or every other day, we've had one positive case, then we've had a couple of staff members. And as you know, we report that on our daily on our report card that's available to the public. And when we go out with a notice letting families know that we've had a positive case, it can evoke a lot of emotion. And some will advocate for simply just shutting the school down. Better safe than sorry, shut the entire school down for 14 days. And talk to us a little bit about when you work with schools and provide guidance and come up with a plan, what are you considering in terms of keeping schools open or not?
Absolutely. So anytime that we do work with schools and we receive information of a positive COVID-19 resident that has either attended or works in the school setting, what our nursing division and our epidemiology division, they typically assess the extent of exposure. And we look at all potential settings for exposure that's not necessarily just contained to the classroom. And of course, the schools have gone above and beyond. It has been a Herculean effort in terms of everything that you had mentioned that was done as far as safety precautionary measures. We also included surveys, those daily surveys, sign-in sheets, cohorting. So the list goes on and on in terms of precautionary measures. However, there are times when we receive that report of a positive individual. As soon as that report is received, the nursing and epidemiology division interview that person, and we really assess any possible both direct and proximal contacts, and that's how we compile that list of contacts for the contact tracing effort that ensues. But first and foremost, because of the congregate environment, and even with our FAQs, we tend to note that the classroom setting and the school bus tends to be more of a congregate environment that a lot of standardized guidance document account for. So we actually go above and beyond in terms of measures for exclusion. We tend to err on the side of caution, and even despite the CDC definition for exposure, which is less than 6 feet, more than 10 minutes of exposure, we go above and beyond that, and we really consider the setting and the environment in which that potential exposure happens. So clearly, to have exposure, it's not enough just to have a positive individual. That positive individual have had to present to school within that infectious period, which is either 3 days prior to testing positive for an individual that's mildly symptomatic or quote-unquote asymptomatic, as they call it, although there are no really truly asymptomatic individuals. They would have had to have a headache or some mild symptomatology. But regardless of the case, typically in that individual that's not reporting active symptoms, we tend to consider 3 days prior to testing as that infectious period of time. If that individual presented into the school setting within that 3 days prior to testing and or while actively symptomatic, which is hopefully not the case, because if you're actively symptomatic, please, please stay home and keep your children at home as well. But if that happened in that congregate environment, we really assess that environment. So, for instance, we consider how many individuals were in that proximal setting, in that immediate vicinity of that symptomatic individual, how many individuals were masked, how many individuals were not wearing a mask at the time. So, for instance, anytime such an exposure happens on a bus, in a restroom, in a lunchroom environment where obviously individuals have removed their masks and they're proceeding to eating. We tend to err on the side of caution and broadly exclude as many individuals as may have even potentially come in contact. So even individuals that are typically unaccounted for, we still tend to account for. And what's very important to note, it's not just those individuals that happen to be on the list. We really assess that potential for exposure, even if it's in the interim of that individual actually sitting down and presenting into that setting, or something that may have potentially happened when that individual was in the hallway, so on and so forth. So when we are very broad with our exclusions, we can exclude that entire environment. So it could be the entire, let's say, lunchroom or the entire classroom. We may exclude multiple environments and multiple settings for presentation for that individual. It could be the bus, it could be the classroom and the lunchroom and potentially a restroom. That's precisely why most schools maintain that cohorting environment where the same cohort, the same class, or the same group tends to follow each other in all settings. That way, if there is an exposure, we can limit it to that cohort, to that group that's assigned. A lot of schools also maintain sign-in sheets or actual seating charts, which makes it a lot easier for that contact tracing effort and the communicable disease investigation. If we are unable to ascertain that full list of contacts, and we will contact each and every one of the individuals that is identified as a direct or proximal contact, if we are unable to do that, then we do not have that itemized list available to us. That's when we go to even broader measures, and we tend to exclude either the entire grade level, it can be the entire school. So it's truly situationally dependent. So if you have a classroom, let's say, that remains within that classroom setting the entire day, it's a bit easier because you tend to exclude just that setting. If you have a cohort of a class that's moving around and migrating throughout the day, we may exclude the entire grade level, not just necessarily that one class where the exposure happened.
Well,
if it's throughout the school, we may even potentially close the entire school.
I understand. Well, we're running out of time, but this has been certainly very informative. Dr. Gelman, thank you so much for being my guest today and just sharing your expertise and experiences throughout the region. Thank you for your leadership.
Thank you very much for all you do today and always, and please stay safe, especially for Halloween.
Very good. Until next time, this is David Leach, and you have been listening to Your Schools. Bye now.